Let us run with endurance the race that is set before us, looking to Jesus, the founder and perfecter of our faith. The Bible commands us to pray and tells of God's promise to hear and answer our prayers. Call unto me, and I will answer you and show you great and mighty things. Today, we'll learn a useful way to structure our prayer times. From the Moody Church in Chicago, this is Running to Win with Dr. Erwin Lutzer, whose clear teaching helps us make it across the finish line. Today, Erwin Lutzer continues a series on disciplines of the soul, four ways to stay close to God. We're learning about the discipline of prayer and using Psalm 23 to learn how to pray the scriptures back to God.
Now, what we're going to do here is to illustrate how this is done. And in the process of illustrating it, hundreds of you, I believe, who've not been doing it this way, some of you already have been, are going to go home and you will find your prayer life transformed. You'll actually be excited about that sweet hour of prayer. Let's begin with one of the most familiar passages of Scripture in all the Bible. It's one that all of us can quote. If you've been saved more than 2 weeks, I'm sure you can quote Psalm 23. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. And then we pause and we say, oh, Father, I want to thank you today that Jesus is my shepherd. Thank you for the privilege of being one of your sheep. I pray that you will make me an obedient sheep. And then as you begin to meditate in the scripture, you begin to realize, at least in my case, that I also am a shepherd. And I pray, oh God, make me a good shepherd of the people that you've entrusted to my care. And then I begin to think of other shepherds at Moody Church to pray for, the pastoral staff and the elders. And so after you've begun at a time like that, then you go on to the next verse. He makes me lie down in green pastures and leads me beside quiet waters. Father, I pray today that you might enable me to be led beside quiet waters. May my soul rest in you. Satisfy, O Lord God, I pray. Satisfy my soul with you. And then it says, he restores my soul. We need to pause there and say, Father, I know that so often I wander from you. There are things that I do that, oh, prone to wander, Lord, I feel it. Prone to leave the God I love. Oh, Father, restore me. Keep me in the path. Keep me walking righteously. And so you go all the way through this psalm and you use the psalm as a basis of meditation, yes, but you're combining the discipline of meditation and the discipline of prayer. And after you have finished Psalm 23, the next day or the next segment of time, you go on to Psalm 24. And now, of course, doing that with the psalms is easy, because most of the psalms are prayers. But we're taking those prayers and we are personalizing them. We are making those prayers our own. The simple fact is, it is our opportunity to pray back to God the things that have been written in God's word. Now, there are so many examples that obviously every psalm is an example. But let's suppose that you're going through a difficult time because someone at work is persecuting you, or you're in a situation where someone has it in for you and you're going through this difficult time of wondering whether or not God is going to defend you because you have an enemy or two out there somewhere. What about a psalm like Psalm 31? We don't have time to read it, but many of you are going to remember that now, aren't you? Psalm 31. In you, O Lord, I have taken refuge. Let me never be put to shame. Deliver me in your righteousness. Turn your ear to me. I must skip these beautiful verses. Verse 4, free me from the trap that is set for me, for you are my refuge. Into your hands I commit my spirit. Redeem me, O Lord, the God of truth. And on it goes. And one of the loveliest passages quoted by Jesus even on the cross. Verse 13, for I hear the slander of many. There is terror on every side. They conspire against me and plot to take my life. But I trust in you, O Lord. I say, you are my God. My times are in your hands. words. Deliver me from my enemies and from those who would pursue me. Let your face shine on your servant. Save me in your unfailing love. What an expression for those who are going through times of difficulty. What a way in which we can pray to God as we take his word and we're praying his word back to him. Now, I could give you many other illustrations. You say, well, that's the Psalms. What about the epistles of Paul? They are very, very easy to pray. By the way, the epistles are not the wives of the apostles. The word epistle means letter or writing. You know, in Ephesians, for example, you have two wonderful prayers. If you ever wonder how you should pray for us as members of the pastoral staff, if you're ever thinking of how do I pray about a missionary and I don't know what his needs are, that's not right. You know exactly what his needs are. Ephesians chapter 1, you pray that the eyes of his heart will be enlightened, that he might know the hope of his calling and know who he is in Christ and experience the length and the depth and the love of Christ. That's the next prayer, actually, in Ephesians chapter 3. And you begin to pray this because when the Apostle Paul prayed, he was always praying for people spiritually. Now, I don't want to play down the need to pray for people in their physical ailments and in their needs and so forth. But when you look at Paul's prayers, and there's more than a dozen of them in his writings, every one of them focused on people's relationship with God, and nothing was said about their physical needs, about their conflicts, because Paul was convinced that if people are rightly related to God, and if the eyes of their mind are enlightened as to who they are in Christ, they can endure what it is that they're going through. Often I've prayed Colossians 1 for my children. What a marvelous prayer, but we do not have time to turn to it, but you do, and you pray it. Phrase by phrase, 7 requests Paul makes that could be made for any Christian, and you pray those requests. Yesterday I was praying through Romans chapter 12. As you know, I have prayer partners, and many of my prayer partners pray this way for me. And one day, one of them read the entire 12th chapter of Romans for me as a prayer. Wow. Can you imagine being prayed for in that way? And I was praying, and it says in Romans chapter 12, "Therefore I urge you, brothers, in view of God's mercy, to offer your bodies as living sacrifices, holy and pleasing to God." I stopped there. I prayed for myself that my body would be a living sacrifice, holy and pleasing to God. And this is my spiritual act of worship. And then the Lord brought to mind the need to pray for our 3 daughters and for their husbands. So I prayed Romans chapter 12, verses 1 and 2, where it goes on to talk about holiness, pleasing God, and the mind being transformed by the Word of God and by the Spirit of God. I prayed that for our sons-in-law. And then I prayed it for others. And I have to tell you, I did not get beyond verses 1 and 2 because so many people came to mind for whom I began to pray that this would be true of them. You see how this works? So that you're not simply praying, Lord, bless somebody. What you're doing is you are praying God's thoughts. What are the advantages of this kind of prayer? Let me give them to you very quickly, because as I've already emphasized, we are now praying God's agenda and not ours. What if I were to speak to a businessman, and I were to say to him, would you share with me, please, how your relationship with God is coming along? What kind of a relationship do you have with the Almighty? And he were to say, well, you know, I don't really like my job. And as a matter of fact, I wish I could change jobs. And I say, look, that's not the question that I'm asking. I'm asking you a different question. How is your relationship with God? And he were to say, well, you know, if we had more money, we could do a lot of other things, but we're really short on money. We can hardly pay our bills. And I'm saying, hey, that's not what I'm asking you. How's your relationship with God? And then he says, well, I want you to know that I've had a lot of trouble with my back recently, and it hurts. And I'm saying, don't you get it? That's not what I'm asking. We do that with God all the time. God's on a different trajectory. What are we doing? We're asking, we're talking about this, and God says, you know, everything in my sight is important, but I'm not worried about the circumstances here. That's not my big agenda. My big agenda is your heart and your purity and your holiness and your ability to endure. That's much more important to me than solving all your problems. And every time you come, all that you think of me as is a problem solver. Spurgeon, you remember, said, "Oh, blessed axe of sorrow that cuts a pathway to my God by chopping down the tall trees of human comfort." You know, all that we're doing is we're praying for our creature comforts. Make it easier. Solve the problems. God says, that's not my agenda. And we keep coming to him with an agenda that isn't really his. It's ours. Boy, when you're praying Romans 12, and if you've turned to that passage, I hope you stay there because we're going to return to it in a moment. But when you're praying that, now suddenly, you're getting the mind of the Lord. You're discovering what the will of God really is for your life. Secondly, second advantage, God uses his word to trigger our memories and our concerns. You see, when you're reading the Bible, oftentimes you'll come across passages that really don't apply to you. So what you do is you say, "Oh, blessed Holy Spirit, does this passage apply to other people? Help me to know, Lord, other people for whom I can pray this." And God will bring people to mind and situations to mind for which you will be able to pray now and use the scripture in the process of doing the praying. What a wonderful experience that is. Now, if there's a passage that absolutely does not lend itself to prayer, and that may be true of some of the historical sections of the Bible, then what you do is you simply read it, and if possible, if you can't read it out loud, at least to read it and let your lips move, and read it to God. Say, "Lord, I'm reading your word, but I'm reading your word in your presence, and I'm reading this word to you." And in the process, God is honored because he says he has exalted his word as high as his name.
Well, my friend, this is Pastor Lutzer. I hope that you have a pen or pencil handy because in a moment I'm going to be giving you some important contact info. I'm holding in my hands a letter from someone, a Russian listener, who says, "For me, this program is like an additional Christian education. I listen every day, very inspiring and edifying. Thank you for such an amazing program." Would you consider becoming an endurance partner, somebody who stands with us regularly with their prayers and their gifts? Well, here's what you can do to find more info. You can go to offerrtw.com. That's offerrtw.com. Click on the Endurance Partner button or call us at 1-800-215-5001.
Erwin Lutzer with part two of The Discipline of Prayer, the second of four messages on disciplines of the soul, four ways to stay close to God. Next time, some final thoughts about praying in ways that honor God. Disciplines of the Soul is more than a series. It's a set of CDs with all four messages by Pastor Lutzer. We'd like to send it as our thank you when you give a gift of any amount to support Running to Win. Just call us at 1-800-215-5001. That's 1-800-215-5001. Online, go to offerrtw.com. That's offerrtw.com. Or write to Running to Win, Moody Church, 1635 North LaSalle Boulevard, Chicago, Illinois, 60614. This is Dave McAllister. Running to Win is a ministry of the Moody Church.